Well, this is sort of number four of five. I don't think we need this anymore. No, I can get that out of the way. See if it's better. This is four out of five of the Sundays that we're doing the Frontline series. We've been doing the Frontline series from the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, LICC. If we can have our slides, please. We've had... we'll just do a little introduction using the sermon slides, just to have a quick recap before we do the reading. Sorry, Andrew, I probably didn't make that clear. So on the first week, we thought about all the difference in the world, how we can make the difference, be the difference, wherever we are, whatever place we are in, whatever we do. John took us through last week, and then whoever we are. We're going to be thinking about today, and then together we grow as we support one another, as we recognize these front lines. And you'll remember in the first week that we put these maps up so that you could recognize your front line. Think, what is the place where I most often come into contact with people who are not yet in faith? Where has God placed me? And everybody put a little pin on this map. So if you haven't yet put a pin on this map, you can do that now, or you can do that at the end of the service. It might be your home. It might be your place of work. It might be a club or society that you belong to. And we're going to pray. We're going to recognize those places. And we're going to pray for what God's desire for us is in those places. And today you've been given a piece of paper as well. So what I'd like you to do today is to write a job title for whatever it is that you do in that place and in the place where you are on your front line. Now, that could be, and I'm quoting from the book here. Sorry about, I've got a bit of interference here. Sorry if it's me. It's not me. So, it might be head cook and bottle washer, or it could be volunteer childminder or magistrate, or it could actually be that you have a defined role, a defined job title that's already been given to you in that place, so you might just want to write that down. So, scribble down on your piece of paper what that is, and then write down three things, we've suggested that we do, write down three things that you do as part of that job. Okay? Just give you a minute to do that. So that's the title, and then three things that you do as part of that job. You might want to give it a bit deeper thought later, but give it a first stab. And we're going to be thinking about how that changes us anyway, so don't spend ages on it. We're all busy people. Okay, well, today's reading is from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15. I'm reading from the New International Version. It's the bit where, in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking about prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Well, there's a lot we could say about this, and many sermons have been preached on the Lord's Prayer. And I'm just going to focus in on 2 points. But for most people, it's generally only in trouble when they will pray. Only in times of trouble, in desperation, we turn to something bigger than ourselves, that God will have mercy on them and come to their aid in some sort of supernatural way. And that's not a bad prayer. It's better than not praying at that kind of situation. It's good to connect with God. But there's a deeper desire within each one of us. We all have a yearning within us to connect with a spiritual entity, a yearning to commune with our Creator, with God. That's how we were made. There'll always be a gap in our lives unless we're connected with God. And it's through that connection that we can find peace through Jesus. But perhaps we think we can't approach God. We feel unable to approach him because we feel unworthy. That's not a bad feeling as well. God is holy and infinitely powerful. And he knows everything, which is a potent combination. But the Bible says that through Jesus, if we trust in him, our sins are forgiven. If we trust in Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we can approach God. Acts 22, verse 16, be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Looking forward to a baptism service next month. If you're interested in being baptized, please do speak to me. I'd love to talk to you about that step of obedience, that step of commitment. 1 John 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Purified in the sight of God. That's something, isn't it? Ephesians 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption. That means the price has been paid. The debt that was owed has been settled. We have redemption. We have been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Jesus has made a way for us to know God as Father. Know him intimately and be at peace with him. You may struggle maybe with this concept of a heavenly father, but God is a perfect father. I mean, I try to be the best father I can be, but I'm not going to be a perfect father. It's not going to happen. But God is a perfect father. There is no evil within him. He is holy and perfect and pure. And God wants the best for you. All his desires for you are good. He wants most of all you to be saved, for you to be able to be with him for eternity. He wants you to respond to his offer to know him and to know life eternally. And this is affirmed to us as well in Scripture. John 1 verse 12. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Should we switch to this microphone? Just wonder, yeah, let's do that. John 1 verse 12, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Galatians 3 verse 26, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. 1 John 3 verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Our Father, this prayer starts. Our Father, revolutionary thinking for the time of Jesus, that we could address God as our Heavenly Father, Abba. And as children of God, we're reminded that God loves to see us having fun. God loves it when we are enjoying ourselves, when we're fulfilled, when we're achieving our purpose, when we know that we're loved and we're free. God's desires for us are those of a perfect and good and the best Heavenly Father. That is what God wants for us. And this prayer reminds us of our posture as we approach God. Our Father in heaven. We've got the rest of the prayer on the slide. I think we could have that up. That'd be great. Thanks, Andrew. So then the prayer talks about God being holy. God's name is hallowed. It reminds us of who God is. That we need mercy as well as we approach God. And we're seeking to be aligned with what God is trying to do in the world. As John Stamos said last week in his sermon, it's not just what we do, it's the way that we do it. We're not trying to get God to do things our way by praying. We're trying to align ourselves with his way of doing things and to work out what it is that he's calling us to do. In that way, we glorify God. And then we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. We remind ourselves that we are praying for a different kingdom to come. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near. That was Mark 1 verse 15. So we're praying for God's kingdom to be manifest in our world, in the places where God has put us. Not that we would assimilate the values of the world, not that we would be transformed into the world's mold, but that the world would be transformed into God's mold. That the values of the world around us would start to reflect the values of the kingdom of God. I was in the IT industry for 16 years. I worked for two different multinationals, and I can testify that this is really, really hard to try to take God's kingdom into your workplace, into my workplace, into our homes, into at the school gate, into the clubs and societies when we're speaking to our neighbors. This is not easy. And so we pray. We start by praying. Your kingdom come. Because there are parts of those, every one of those environments that affirm these values, Christian values. Our society has been transformed by Christian values for hundreds of years. And much of it is good. But there will always be times when there will be a clash of kingdoms. Two kingdoms vying for ascendancy. The rat race, values of get ahead by putting others down. People saying the way to get forward is to cheat or to steal, where you can get away with it. Those things are not God's way. A clash of cultures. And it's hard to stand up for what's right. Sometimes we do that, we get it right. Sometimes we don't. We confess, we come before God. We try to put things right, and we go again. we go again. Sometimes it's a question of values. Are we promoting those values? Are we promoting the values of the kingdom of God at our workplaces, in our homes, at the school gate, in our clubs and societies? Because the media, today's TV and books and magazines, they're not predominantly promoting Christian values. We have to recognize this and be aware of what we're filling our minds with. Philippians 4, whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is true, if anything is praiseworthy. Jesus said the things that come out of our mouths will be the things that are in our hearts. What about the jokes that we laugh at, the jokes that we tell? How about promoting the things of the kingdom when we're at our front lines? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But Jesus helped others. He didn't always come against them. He recognized where they were and he drew them on. You see that? You see his gentleness, his humility as Jesus works with people, recognizing that everybody is on a journey. Jesus knows that we need Christians in places of responsibility in the workplace. We need Christian plumbers, accountants, builders, football players, Christian company directors, supermarket workers, Christian curators, Christian surveyors, Christian project managers. They can all make a difference in their places of work, as well as Christian doctors, nurses, teachers, Christian politicians, Christian artists, Christian software engineers, as I was. God's kingdom can grow in all of these places. And we need Christian parents. We need Christians on the PTA at the schools. Christians involved in clubs and charities. Remembering the truth of God, as Finley said, and exhibiting that in works. Exhibiting grace and love and humility. It takes courage. We need prayer. We're praying for God's kingdom to come at our front lines. We can see kingdoms fall, regimes change. Jesus is with you. And we're reminded, we pray, give us today our daily bread. We're reliant on God for everything. For forgiveness, for sustenance, for power, for protection. And we pray, lead us not into temptation. We're naive to think that at these places we're not going to be tempted. Of course we will. We need to pray that we recognize and resist spiritual attack. But we are actually on the offensive. The last part of our prayer reminds us. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Nicky Gumbel says this. We, that is the church, have the keys of the kingdom. The powers of hell will not overcome the person who has faith in him. Rather, the church, armed with the keys of the kingdom, can storm the gates of hell and set the prisoners free. The gates of Hades will not hold out against the church. It is the church that is on the offensive, and you can be assured of victory against the defenses of the enemy. You have the amazing privilege of seeing people set free through the preaching of the good news of the kingdom. You can have the joy of seeing people set free from drug addiction, alcoholism, crime, and every other bondage. You can approach challenges with confidence, fearing no evil, knowing that you share in a remarkable spiritual authority. Anna said in her prayer that we would know authority. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. At the end of the day, this is God's work. Trust in him. Do it his way. Let's say this prayer together. Let's say that. I'm going to invite you to stand as you recognize where your front line is. Just think about your front line. Let's stand together and encourage one another and say this prayer, as it is written in this version. We probably know a different version. I certainly do. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then we'll say together, I'll tell you the words and then we'll say them together. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Let's say that. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Please take your seat again. We're going to now watch the film, today's film for Frontline. If we could have that, please.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honour it is.
To work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
So now, take your job description again. And think, what changes would you make to it if it starts, child of my heavenly Father, son or daughter of the King of the universe, who is also, and then what you've written. Think about it starting, child of my heavenly Father, son or daughter of the King of the universe, who is also. Take that with you and reflect on that maybe in your prayers this week. Scribble that at the top. We're going to say together the words that we've got to commit one another to our task at our front lines this week. Let's say together, thank you, Father God, for your amazing grace expressed to us in Jesus Christ. May we increasingly know the breadth and depth of your love for us as your Spirit roots this truth in us through our daily lives. As we are scattered this week, we pray that you will shape us in the likeness of Christ, for we are your handiwork, created to bring you joy and to be your people in the world. Amen.